Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, George Washington men's basketball head coach Mike Lonergan talks about his Colonials' national success and a look at the competitive Atlantic 10 Conference. We'll chat with the Emmaus boys basketball team about their success this year and a look at the second half of the high school basketball season. A star women's basketball player comes home to lead her former team. And the latest NFL news, surprises, and playoff predictions. These topics and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening and Happy New Year. Welcome to our first edition of RCN Sports Talk here during the 2016 calendar year. I'm Chris Michael. We're so glad you could join us this evening. Some great guests coming up on the program, but of course everything starts with the introduction of the man off to my right in his number one chair once again. And he is the man who you will remember on August 27th on this very program proclaimed, and I'm quoting, "The Redskins will win four games, five tops, and finish in last place, guaranteed, and the Eagles will win the division easily, and two playoff games under the genius, that is Chip Kelly." Here he is, Mr. Joseph Linwood. Zaya's over here. You owe him a sandwich,
I may have predicted that the Redskins were going to be pretty bad, but that would be typical of almost anybody who does anything.
So it's flip-flopping on your predictions.
Everybody predicted them to be bad. We'll get into that a little later. Right. I want to kudos to them. But by the way, happy holidays. I hope your Christmas was nice
and New Year.
Everything was good.
You are right. I am starting 2016 with a brand new leaf, a clean slate here. My sole objective here this year is to make you happy. Complain about a lot of things. And your chief complaint over the year is that you don't get publicized enough.
I noticed how you started the show, how you were trying to make me happy.
Yes. Well, aside from that, I am going to be nicer to you here.
Are you going to be nice to me?
One of your chief complaints is that you don't get publicity, you don't get promoted enough. So our brand new promo is coming out this year. It is featuring you.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to put it for you on display right now. The Sports Talk 2016 brand new promo starring Joseph Linwood Craig, and we're going to run it here right now.
We can't call us because St. Joe's Prep's number one. We got to let them get to the next round. That's what it looked like because the guys, the official on the side, also didn't throw a flag on the wide receiver. Yeah. So there is no justice on that. And the PIAA, shame.
Hey. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Try this. Get a little ornery when you had nothing to eat all day, okay? Better.
You guys are tough. What a crowd, I'll tell you.
There you go. What more could you ask? The whole promo is featuring you.
I was upset, you know that. And I still am not happy about that. It's been a year, but that's all right.
All right. Can I introduce our
guest?
Yes,
please do. We've got a great group with us today.
Let's introduce our special guest, one of the hottest teams in the RCN viewing area. The head coach of the Emmaus boys basketball team, Mr. Steve Yoder. And he's joined during our first segment by the Cackle Reese brothers, David and Matthew. I'm going to try to make sure I address the right ones appropriately here. But David, Mike, and Coach Yoder, thanks for being here on the program.
Thanks for having us. Excited.
Before we talk about this year, I want to go back to last year because you booked probably the toughest, and several people saw your non-conference schedule and said that is without question the toughest non-conference schedule in the state from anyone. It was a tough struggle to make the playoffs because you had to get the 500 overall and so forth, but you got there. Looking back, was that a good decision, and how much could you learn from playing, you know, truly nationally ranked teams last year?
Well, we talk a lot in the program about getting into states, we have some high goals. Mm-hmm. So playing a non-league schedule like that prepares the kids for it. And obviously, you know, we went 0-6, so it might have backfired a little bit, but we were 11-5 in league.
Yeah.
And we have a really good league. So I think ultimately it might have helped us. Yeah. Hindsight is 20/20. It's not good to lose games by 25 or 30, but many of those games we didn't. Many of those were close. When we played a defending state champ in New York, we lost pretty much at the buzzer. That was a really good game. Steel High was an outstanding game. you know, and then we had a couple other games that got away from us. But I think ultimately the kids had a great experience.
Yeah.
What I try to do as a head coach is give them unique experiences. We travel a lot of different places. And, you know, we like to think we're bigger than basketball. And we went to Binghamton, and this year we went to Wildwood. We've been to Pittsburgh. We went down and played in Kobe Bryant's gym there in Lower Marion.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think the kids leave the program feeling they had a great experience, and hopefully it prepared them in basketball sense as well.
Yeah. And I think as the season went on, people would be like, well, they'd be surprised at the win total with it. And then they look at your schedule and say, wow, you really played some good teams. And then there were some other bigger schools that, you know, didn't have that high quality.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that you can learn from for this year and going forward.
Yeah, well, we were still third in the power rankings.
Yeah.
And we ended up ultimately a 4 seed because I believe a Colonial team bumped up when they won their league. So, I mean, our power points were definitely there and put us in a tough spot, but it made us focus in league. And I thought we had a really good league season in league. And then, you know, playoffs were fun as well.
Yeah, they were.
David, Matt, what were some of your memories against some of those teams? And what were some of the things you learned playing those teams?
Well, I missed a lot of the season last year with a knee injury.
Yeah.
So I was on the sideline. And, well, a lot of those teams are a lot quicker and bigger. So it just helped us. Well, playing against them helped us when we got back to the league, helped us just play harder and quicker.
And Matt, were you quiet on the bench? Did you just kind of climb up and not say anything?
I helped the team. I was in the huddle, and I was with Yoder on the sideline, giving him advice with things that are going on in the game.
Yeah. Dave, was he a good bench coach?
Yeah, he was. He was. He talked a lot.
But that doesn't answer whether he was good or not. It just means he talked a lot.
But did a lot of the stats.
Yeah,
we did. We did go 0-6 in all those games, but they were really good competition, and it really helped our team come together more. And it helped us out for this year, too, because we played against tough competition, like nationally ranked competition, and we played a lot better this year as a team. We went on 9-0.
Well, I think, what you do is you see a lot of other styles of basketball, where you may see a lot of, you know, pattern-type basketball in this area, most teams, although there are a couple of real run-and-gun-type teams.
Right.
But when you play an independent schedule, you see all kinds of styles. It's got to prepare you when it comes crunch time.
We played in New York, and they had a shot clock.
Yeah.
And that was different. We never played with
three officials at most games.
So there were a lot of unique experiences. The first game up in New York, we played I can't think of their name, but they were from Brooklyn, and they had a 7-footer that's playing at Georgetown.
Wings Academy.
And it was like, that was obviously pretty shocking for all of us. We don't run into too many 7-footers. So, and then the last game we played was Christian Leitner's alma mater. It was a neat experience, no doubt about it.
Matt said a key word, too, when you said the speed of teams. And I hear that word a lot when people are talking about making adjustments to the next level. When you get in the state tournaments and you're playing Philadelphia level schools, the speed is a big factor. Is that something you can kind of translate and see how a real up-tempo style game is played?
A lot of they're quicker in Philly, a lot of teams down there.
Yeah.
But when we were in state 2 years ago, I believe, who did we play? We played against
Abington
Heights.
Who ended up going to the Final Four. In overtime.
They lost in overtime.
The they were really good.
Yeah, good game. But they were a lot bigger and quicker. And
That's a great point to bring up, because we were all in awe of them after the game in the locker room. We were just like, we had not seen quickness like that.
Yeah. In the league, everyone knows your sets. So you got to really focus on your own sets as a team. You got to go through everything like perfectly, and you just got to play. And then once you get in the States, everything opens up, and you can just play, and you just feel it's just a lot more. It's better, but it's easier.
Was there anything from those teams that you'd learned or that you could steal and use for this year? Any plays or things that you saw players do?
They just have athletes that we just don't have that many athletes in the Valley like that. And it's certainly not a knock on the Valley, but like it's really beneficial going into a game like tomorrow. I mean, Allen has tremendous athletes, and when you play a good non-league schedule, it just kind of gets you used to that speed, at least on some level. So hopefully the kids felt good about the experience. I know I did, and I love taking them on the road because I can trust them, and they're just wonderful kids to be around. And then on top of that, we had some really neat experiences on the floor. It just didn't work out.
And it's amazing, too. I see a lot of out-of-the-area basketball because of where my son is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you see some of these teams. You talk about quickness and athleticism. I mean, you'll go out there, and the first 8 guys will dunk the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, and you say, oh, my God, what am I in? And some of them are only 5'11", and they're just really good athletes. But then the type of basketball we play here in the Valley gives a lot of those teams trouble because
Absolutely.
They just are not – they have a hard time playing against teams that actually run sets
yep. mm-hmm.
and plays because it's a lot of it's freestyle basketball in those areas.
As soon as you started saying that, that's exactly what I started yeah. thinking. Was we take a lot of pride in owning our system, and it's a great yeah. equalizer when you're fundamental and you're disciplined. It doesn't always work out. But it is definitely something that allows us to compete yeah. with some teams that yeah. just on paper and when you're looking warm-ups, you're like, this could be a long game.
Yeah.
No, we own our system and we have moments where we don't. But when we do, we're a pretty good basketball team.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when my son got the job down there, and just real quick, that's been almost 10 years. The first thing he did after he got the job at Woodson down in Virginia, he came home the first weekend and he sat down with Dick Tracy for 4 hours and he got a coaching lesson on the matchup
right.
zone. And he put it in down there. And now it gives people trouble. They're not used to seeing
sure.
it. And you guys see that kind of stuff all the time when you yeah. play that kind of a schedule.
Yeah, we're exposed to a lot of different things. Yeah. I think ultimately it's a good thing.
Yeah. Now, coming into this year, and contrary to some people's opinions, you guys are not seniors. You're going to be back next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I did have a faux pas there. I forgot.
Well, I so, wasn't even going to single you
I've been
out.
Watching their names Forever. So long. It's like they're like 19 years old. You know, but they're only juniors, these guys.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But you are juniors now. So did this year start to feel any different? You're now upperclassmen. You're one of the team leaders. Did you look at this year differently, or are you approaching did you approach the season any differently?
Well, this year I'm focusing on being more of a leader because I'm an upperclassman now. Like when I was younger, I had seniors look up to and stuff. I still do. They're over there, actually. But it's just, it's great playing my team and stuff, and just go out and like, I don't know.
I'm just glad to be back from last season. Yeah. I wasn't as strong last season. And, well, this season, I need to focus more on in scoring because we had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
We had a freshman, 6'7", Zach Sable. Yeah. He broke his leg in practice. I believe it was, like, one of the first practices.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake Firetag, he broke his wrist. Mm-hmm. And those were some key players that we had this
yeah.
year.
And I want to say how proud I am of Matt because you know, he's such a competitor and he wanted to be on the floor and he had a pretty devastating injury. Never complained.
Mm-hmm.
He was patient. He did what the doctor said. And I think it gave an appreciation of how special it is to play and be part of the program when he came back. But I was so proud of him going through that because it was a long time. He missed
almost
a lot. Missed the whole summer and then more than half the regular season. And you know, he knows how I feel about that. I told him a million times. I don't know if there were any kids that could have handled it better.
Because I think we saw your first game back because we promoted that Matt's coming back. He's rusty and you came out. You played well in your first game there. So what was that adjustment like going on the fly? Because the team obviously was playing very well at that point.
When I came back?
Yeah.
Well, we played Whitehall that night and they put me in JV a little bit, just like warm me up.
Yeah.
And at first I felt like really slow. First game back and I was really tired. But I thought I adjusted pretty well playing through our system.
Takes a little while to get the basketball legs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not something you just don't go from sitting on a bench and doing nothing, get on the court, and all of a sudden you're running up and down. It takes time.
Yeah, a couple months, I think.
And our last game of the year, he hit a three-pointer at the buzzer in district to send it into overtime against Allen. And I was so happy that he hit that. And unfortunately, it didn't work out in overtime, but he just kind of, in my eyes, he deserved that moment.
Could you talk about your December? Because you got off to a 9-0 start. You played some good teams. What was the start of the season like for you guys?
Well, we had a lot of away games, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And the first game of the season, I think we took the team a little lightly, East Stroudsburg North, and they almost hit a buzzer beat on us. And after that, we kind of zoned in and played harder against every other team. And we beat a couple of good teams like Penridge. They had a 1,000-point scorer there, I believe, and beat them at home, I believe, by like 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good wins.
Yeah, our goal was to go into the season at our first 12 games, our first 9 were away, and we just wanted to go in and go 9-0. And then we went through coach's system and everything, we went and we got 9-0, and then we had 2 rough ones, but we're coming back, we're going to get some more Allen. So that'd be good.
Was that because did you start a little later than other teams? Because
there's
some teams start off with the tournament. So.
That's the first time I've done that. You know, most teams open up on Friday or Saturday, and we didn't play till the next Tuesday. And so many times you feel rushed, like you don't have your stuff in.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of players coming back. We only had one senior that we lost, which was a significant senior in Tyler Prescott. But I felt that we were in a really good position going into that first game. So when we didn't play well, I was pretty frustrated, but very thankful that we got away with that first win. And then after that, things started going pretty well.
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring up the Parkland game, but since we have Parkland's number one graduate here, he's going to ask the question too. I mean, that game, we built it. We thought that was going to be the game, certainly the game of the night, game of the week. But Parkland has done that to a number of teams starting off the gate. And it looked like, you know, you had some good percentage shots. I know you called a timeout when Parkland went on a run. Is that one of those efforts where, you know, Parkland, they got their whole unit back. They were looking to start off the year fresh, and you just kind of ran into a buzzsaw that night?
Yeah, they're a juggernaut. You guys want to go?
It just didn't seem like they missed. Like, everything they put up just felt like it was going in. It was kind of hard, but we just had to keep fighting. We were down on ourselves. Halftime, coach was trying to get us back up. We came back out the second half. We fought a little more, but we just couldn't bring it back.
Yeah, same thing you said.
That's because Joe was working with him before that game and teaching him everything that he learned about basketball. All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Emmaus head basketball coach Steve Yoder and David and Matt Kakalreese in just a second. When I let our audience in on our trivia question for tonight and give you a chance to win tonight's very special prize. So tonight's trivia question, we'll open up the phone lines and the emails. Who were the first two NFC East teams to win two consecutive regular season division titles? The first two teams from the NFC East that won back-to-back regular season division titles. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
The one they won't be. And one more time, tonight's question, which Joe has approved of. That's starting off 2016 on the right note.
It's a bit of a trick question.
Who were the first two NFC East teams to win two consecutive regular season division titles? We need both answers to be correct to win tonight's prize.
It's a little bit of a trick question.
Don't give any hints.
I'm not.
We can't give these things away here. Continuing the conversation, Steve Yoder, Emmaus head basketball coach, with David and Matt Kakalreese for our opening segment here tonight. You mentioned Allen. We have that game on RCN, so it's on tape delay 9:30. Allen presents a problem. They're a team that I thought, besides Parkland, yourself, they had that up-tempo style that sometimes teams don't match up well with. So without giving away any trade secrets, what are some of your keys to attack? What things do you have to do against the Canaries tomorrow?
Well, I think anybody that watches them know you have to limit their transition. They love to get up and down the floor. So we're going to have to be really sound defensively, not only in the half court, but when we do score, and certainly when we miss, get back and locate. Make them play a half-court game. I think that's what most teams try to do. And like any game, doesn't matter who you're playing, we have to be efficient offensively. Mm-hmm. So it's so hard to simulate their athleticism in practice. Yeah. I see when we play them a lot, it oftentimes takes a few minutes for us to kind of adjust to their speed and what they bring. And then usually we're fine. I've had some of my most enjoyable games coaching against Doug and the Allen kids. Yeah. I always look forward to it. I have probably more respect for him and his program than anybody. It's a fun brand of basketball, and we like to play that way. Yeah. So the kids get excited about it. I'm really wound about it. And hopefully we can have a great game tomorrow and get back to our winning ways.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys about it because a lot of teams like playing Allen. You like playing up-tempo and throw the ball around. Yeah. And then if Allen gets in a rhythm, it makes for a long evening. So are you excited about playing a team like Allen that likes to push the tempo?
Yeah, our whole team is very excited about playing Allen, but I think they have a lot of guard play, so they love getting in the lane, creating and like throwing alley-oops to a lot of players and stuff. But we just need to keep them out of the lane, stop their transition, make them play half court, and I think we'll be fine. And it'll be fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we just have to keep them out of the paint. Because if they get in the paint, they start making layups. Because they're all athletic, so they all get rebounds. Yeah. Just kind of keep them out of the paint.
And again, it's a different style of basketball.
Yeah.
What they play
up
is
and down.
A little different than what you see around the league,
right.
Other than maybe. Pocono Mountain West is going to play that kind of a style, you know, and of course Allen, but it's good basketball. They're always fun to watch. They have a great tradition.
Yeah, it should really be a great matchup because you both have very deep teams too, which I think, you know, you can play that up-tempo style and you're not the five same guys out on the floor.
Good guard play, and that's the key. I'm blessed, obviously, with these two and others in the program. And if you don't have good guard play, they can really make it difficult on you. But we're fortunate enough that we have guards. And then as well, our big guys like that style. Joey and Brandon and Scar, and they like to get up and down the floor as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody's excited about it.
Yeah, I think there's about four teams, maybe five, I think, in the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference that I look to like that, that are just going to be better, I think, on paper at least, better than everybody. And that would be Parkland, of course, Emmaus.
Are you making a stone cold prediction here that I can hold you to?
Pocono Mountain West, I think, is an outstanding basketball team. And, of course, Allen. I think those four especially.
You're going to snake bite them all.
No. One of those four is going to win it. But I think.
All right. We're saving the tape of this. I'm going to bring this up if you're wrong. I've been fed a few questions here about the home life here. So let me ask you guys. One of the questions I have here is, who's better in the backyard pickup games? So feel free to chime in or bust on each other, however you want to do this.
Well, I mean, as we grew up, he's never beat me one-on-one.
Can we do that reaction again?
The Hornet camp.
In the backyard, the Hornet camp. True. But when we're really playing, like, it's competitive, but he's beat me a few times when I don't try and stuff. Oh. But he's good, too.
So. You ought to see the face on the other one.
You gotta be there.
I don't think that's true.
Don't hurt your wrist there, your neck, shaking your head.
You know what amazes me about these two? They're so fun to be around because they're constantly picking at each other and they're constantly fighting like brothers,
too.
Absolutely. But when they get on the floor, they're best friends, and people who watch them see that connection. But boy, when they're off the floor, they're definitely brothers. We have a lot of fun with it, no doubt.
Matt, do you want to rebut something there? You did not look too happy.
I wouldn't say he beats me all the time. Recently, the past couple of years, I say I beat him most of the times we play.
Wow.
That's true.
Well, now David's giving the reactions.
You know what? The interesting thing to ask will be the next two players to come on. Yeah, we'll ask them who of these two wins.
Well, he did beat me when we were little, like in elementary school. Could barely beat him, but through middle school and high school, I've started to beat him more. That's what I think.
Boys, on the way home, put one of them in the front
seat. There you go.
Seat. I can tell you that right now.
All I could tell you is if I was coaching a high school team, I'd take either one of them, I'll tell you right now.
Steve, you had an interesting story before we came on the air about mixing these guys up sometimes. You've seen them for several years, but you still get them mixed up?
When their hair is different, I'm okay. when they both go for haircuts at the same time, it kills me. You know. And I had Matt in class for a year. I haven't had David in class yet. But you know, we all have fun with it because the fun part is when I yell at them, and of course the person I'm yelling at isn't happy, but the other one's thinking, well, I did it, and they're yelling. He's yelling at me. We have a lot of fun with it on the bench. Two games ago, Matt came off, and I'm yelling at Matt, like, you gotta stop doing this, and he's looking at Coach Farkas like, it wasn't me, and Coach Farkas, of course, was like, just let it happen, and then later I sit down. And Eric will go, well, that was actually the wrong one you were yelling at. So the boys are great about taking it in stride, I don't have to yell at him too often.
Did you ever switch positions, like on a play, like it was designed to go to Matt and Dave, you took the shot or anything like that? You ever pull one?
Truth.
Yeah,
that happened. Yeah, that's happened. Oh, wait a minute.
All the time.
Really?
And it's David sneaking in to where Matt's supposed to be, usually.
Uh-huh. Could you let us know ahead of time when we're doing your game so we can say that
it's
the wrong category?
You better do their next game. You better be careful.
We got their Allen game coming up. Yeah, we're going to take a look at their schedule coming up in just a couple of minutes. But real quick before we let you go, you're just juniors. There's all sorts of rumors about where you're going, and I mentioned some schools, but you're not close to identifying anything.
You're not
right?
Like moving into Bethlehem, playing at Liberty or anything like that, right?
Oh, stop, Joe. Stop.
They are amazing.
I said that for your
benign. They are amazing. Boys.
I'm really focused on the basketball season right now. And we're just focused on playing Allen tomorrow. That's it. That's stuff that I'll talk about with my family after the season, and then we'll go forth from there.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get in any strange cars on your way in the parking lot here. He tries to kidnap players sometimes, especially as talented as you guys.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. You know it's true. Stop. All right, before we let these guys go, we're going to play a round of thumbs up, thumbs down, and that's where we ask them to identify someone in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well or singling out someone for doing something not so well. Joe, we'll start it off with
you. Yeah, I got to give a thumbs up. I can't believe I'm doing this to Kirk Cousins, quarterback of the Washington Redskins.
Didn't you call him a bum 2 months ago?
I'll tell you what. You got to give him kudos to them. And Kirk Cousins, he's had a great year, and he's really, really been a clutch player for the Redskins. I never thought they'd be where they are. My hat's off to him. He's done a great job.
All right. Coach Yoder?
You want me to react to Kirk Cousins?
You can respond,
Come up with my own.
There you go, whatever you want.
Well, being a Cowboy fan, it was a brutal year for me. But, you know, I love watching guys like that have some adversity and they get yanked. They come back and they show the mental fortitude to play well. So I have a lot of respect for Kirk Cousins and what he's done. It's hard for me to root for the Redskins, but I guess if my Cowboys aren't going to be in it, I'll root for the NFC East. So thumbs up to Kirk Cousins.
Dave, I don't really know. You have a thumbs up or thumbs down to anyone?
You don't have an opinion.
Give it to your brother.
You guys are Eagle fans, right?
Yeah, I'm an Eagle fan.
They're miserable right now.
Listen, I'm right with you. I'm an Eagles fan, too. What are you going
to
do?
Matt, do you have one?
To, like, anyone?
Yeah. Anyone but Joe Craig.
Thumbs up to Stephen Curry. Yeah. Won the NBA championship last year, and they had the greatest start to history this year.
Not
24 games, I believe. They won in a row, and they lost.
All right. Well, I'll finish up this segment here. People might have missed this right before the Christmas holiday. There was a tragedy that occurred in Salisbury, the death of Andy Durham there, Salisbury offensive coordinator, just 33 years old, passed away of a heart attack right before Christmas. But from that, Salisbury head coach Andy Serco and the Salisbury community, they're putting a fund together to help Andy's two elementary school-age children, Nick and Emily. There's going to be an event this Saturday from 9 to 1 o'clock at South Mountain CrossFit at 28th Street in Allentown. You can contact people at Salisbury, either Andy Serco or Monica Deeb, about that event. All the proceeds are going to be going to a fund that's created to help Nicholas and Emily Doran, to help them with their education, and obviously a very trying time for them. So thumbs up to Andy Serco and the Salisbury community. We'll be back with more of tonight's RCN Sports Talk, starring the Emmaus boys basketball team, right after this.
Miss part of this evening's program or want to see one of our sports features again? Catch today's RCN Sports Talk show or any of our recent programs in its entirety at any time through RCN On Demand. It's easy. Go to dial position 1 or hit the VOD button on your remote control. Then hit OK and click on RCN TV, then Sports, then RCN Sports Talk. Our shows are listed in descending order, so keep scrolling down to see our most recent shows. The program is free to watch and is available for up to 50 days from our initial air date. So if you ever miss a show or want to catch tonight's program again, check out RCN Sports Talk through video on demand.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Steve Yoder, Emmaus head basketball coach, and we're joined this segment by Joey Polchinski and Cam Wittes. I got two hard to pronounce.
Did he get them right?
Yeah, really.
All right. Well, I have a whole set of questions here, but Joey and Cam have some other questions they want me to ask them.
We're taking over the show here.
Yeah, it's your show anyway. Fine. But you want to talk about the Sixers, so Joey.
You had a thumbs up, you guys.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Sixers?
Say, thumbs up to Elton Brand for coming back to the Sixers. I've been a huge Sixers fan. Me and Cam always talk about him at lunch, and I just love him coming back, helping the young guys get better. The young, because they have so many young bigs. So,
but by the way,
they got to be losing. They're screwing themselves up here by winning three games out of six.
By the way, I wouldn't mind somebody giving me $1 million to come back and advise players on how to behave. Yeah. Right?
Seriously,
that could be hard. Why doesn't anybody want to hire me at $1 million?
I've been trying to fire you. For
years. I know.
I'm going to get your thoughts.
Maybe he has a thought.
Oh, go ahead.
Give the other young man.
Piggybacking on Joe, give a thumbs up to Ish Smith. Turn around for the Sixers.
Yeah, see?
He's destroying the team. No, remember, I got hate mail last time I ripped Sam Hinkie. Yeah, I got hate mail last time I stood there.
And now you want them to lose games.
Well, that's because if they're going to be this
and
bad, they might as well go
for the number
one pick.
And you also wanted the Eagles to lose the game against the Giants.
Yes, go ahead.
Script here. Thoughts on the season. You started off 9-0. I also want to include, I heard your free throw shooting was poor. But the other night against Parkland, you guys shot very well from the free throw line. So overall thoughts on the season and free throw shooting. I don't know if that's an issue at all, but I was told it was. But
you want me to go or you want to go?
I mean, I'll say something about it. Coach always says that our free throw shooting in practice is really well.
Yeah.
It is. We do running free throws, and we always go like 28 for 30, 26 for 30. So it's kind of surprising we're in games and we're like 15 for 30, or sometimes even worse than that. But against Parkland, we had a good free throw shooting night, but, I mean, not much else was going for us that game. So, but overall in the season, we just try to take things in strides. Practice, our free throws are good, but then in game we just got to apply that to the game. And then overall for the season, we started out really well, 9-0. I mean, you couldn't ask for much more.
Yeah.
Much better than that. We played some good teams. Nazareth was having a good year, and
Penridge.
Penridge is a good team. So it was difficult, but we love the challenge, and so now we have a good game against Allen on Friday.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that you've always had. You've always had great free throw shooting.
I was really fortunate for years there. It helps having the Tanis brothers. You know, they were phenomenal. last year we went through the same struggle, and then about mid-season we got better. I kind of see the same thing happening here. Mm-hmm. They just need to be patient, concentrate. I think we'll be okay. Hopefully we turn the corner on Tuesday.
Cam, your thoughts on the starting off 9-0 and some big games coming up, starting with Allen tomorrow night?
It was just great starting 9-0. We knew we had it in us, and I don't know if other people around the Valley, I think they expected us to be good. I don't know if they expected us to be 9-0 good. So that was just really big for us, got our confidence up. And then starting with Allen tomorrow, we're trying to go on another 9-0 run after dropping two in a row. So hopefully we can get it rolling again tomorrow.
Yeah, because you have some tough games coming up here. You have Allen, that's going to be on RCN TV. We're also going to have your game against Liberty next Tuesday on RCN TV. And then you got Becca Whitehall Central. We'll have that on RCN. Steel High, that's another tough non-conference game. You got Nazareth has been playing well. Northampton had a big win the other night. And then Central again will have you on TV for that ball game. So I know you want to take it one game at a time, but yeah. Steve, Joey, and Cam, any thoughts on the next couple weeks of very competitive basketball?
There's one team that we play the rest of the season that has below 500 winning record now. So I'm embracing it. I hope they are too. It's the grind of league. Yeah. And let's have fun with it. Let's go play and be the best team we can be. And if that turns out to be 20-2, great. If it turns out to be 15-7, you know, whatever. We just want to be the best we can be. And I want the kids to feel when they leave here that they had a good experience and the coaches put them in a position to win. That's really what I'm trying for.
You can't take anybody lightly in this league. Even even the under 500 team is a team that everybody thought was going to be really good.
I assure you, I never do.
No, I know you don't.
The
coach,
kids sometimes.
I'm saying it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's human nature. Every night in this league. Every night in this league is going to be a war. It's just going to be. It's a very competitive league.
Yeah, Northampton was last in your division, that great Skyline division that has six solid teams, and then they put another win tomorrow night. Or the other night. I wanted to get your thoughts on the boardwalk real quick before we have our next break here. You went down there. Joe actually scouted you.
I saw them for three quarters. I did, yeah.
You're supposed to stay for four quarters. There's four quarters in basketball, Joe.
I was with the Woodson team, and they were ready to leave, go to dinner, and but I did watch three quarters of their game. Yeah,
Joe and Kemp, what was that trip like, and how much did you benefit from going down on a trip like that?
It was really fun. Not just we got to play two really good teams, so that was a good experience for us, but also the team bonding aspect of it. We got two suites. We got to hang out. There was an indoor pool and an indoor slide. We just had a lot of fun.
See, we should have broadcast that tournament.
Yeah,
you down guys, there and stayed
I,
with
we could arrange that next year if you want to go down there.
Pizza and wings.
Oh, no, you'll have me in a broom closet.
You can share a room with me.
Scotty Johnson went along.
Oh, right. That's Scotty. Always an adventure.
Actually, I thought there were pretty many people from Emmaus. I saw a lot of people from Emmaus.
Yeah. Our parents travel well.
Yeah.
We have great support, too, because if we go like 2 weeks without broadcasting your game, I get heckled and say, why don't you talk about Emmaus more on your show and so forth. So you got a loyal fan base there, too.
It's a great community.
Yeah, it is.
Very fortunate to be a part of it.
One other thing I want to ask about. You have such great balance here. We have a guard and we have a forward here. Do you guys ever argue over lunch about ball control? Because you try to mix it up and, you know, you start inside and you go outside and so forth. But do you guys ever argue about, you know, the big guy should be having the ball more? The guards, let's not throw it inside to Joey and Jake and these guys?
No, because Coach Yoder will freak out if we don't give it to the bigs. So we kind of like to give it to them so we stay safe.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Joey, would you agree with that?
I'm kind of going to disagree.
He wants more.
I'd be lying to you if I said that we didn't talk about the game and stuff. But it's all in good nature. We're just talking about the game.
And
yeah, exactly. I mean, who doesn't want the ball when they're on the court? So
big guys always want the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
And little guys want to shoot it from three.
Right. They never saw a shot they didn't like.
That's exactly right.
We have a great locker room dynamic. The kids are really wonderful with each other. They are.
It's good to hear.
They challenge each other when they need to and get, especially this guy, he's been a great leader, challenging kids. But we're tremendously unselfish.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with head coach Steve Yoder and Joey Polchinski and Cam Wittes coming up right after this timeout. We also still have that trivia question out there. No correct answers so far. So we're looking for the first two NFC East teams to win two consecutive regular season division titles. You can call us, you can email us, or get in contact to win the prize. Again, the question tonight, who were the first two NFC East teams to win two consecutive regular season division titles? Much to my chagrin, I was forced to bring back the most popular segment, at least that's what I'm told from the person sitting next to me.
No.
The most popular segment of this show is called Joe's Take. And Joe's Take is where Joe gets the sound off and talk about whatever he wants to talk about for 60 seconds, and I'm not allowed allowed to interrupt him during this popular segment.
As Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. The National Football League East, Eagles Dallas were picked to be the two to fight for the top.
By you?
Then it was going to be the, no, by everybody. Then it was the Giants, and the bringing up the end was going to be the Redskins. Maybe win 5-6 games. So wouldn't you know, it ends the other way around. Great for Washington, pretty bad for some of the others. Especially, I hate to say this, Coach Dallas, but that should teach us all that you can't count on anything until they blow the whistle and the game's over. You never know what's going to happen.
All right, we'll be back with our next segment of RCN Sports Talk, plus the roundtable, a mix of local and national topics, coming up right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. This will be our final segment with the Emmaus boys basketball team. We're going to have a special interview with Mike Lonergan, head coach of the George Washington men's basketball program, coming up in our final segment tonight. Joining us for this segment, again, head coach Steve Yoder, Joey Polchinski, and Cam Widas. And before we continue our conversation, let's go to the phone lines and speak with Ryan in Macungie. Ryan, welcome to RCN Sports Talk this evening.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
Say hi to Joey and Cameron.
Hi, Ryan.
What's up, Ryan?
Sounds like one of the friends, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What are these guys really like?
What are they really like?
Yeah. We need more dirt.
Are they as nice as they seem, Brian?
They're real fun. Yeah. We've had great times together. I have some classes with them, and they're actually really good boys.
That's good.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, I believe you.
They'll buy your lunch for you tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't commit people. Okay?
Here. Yeah, why not? I don't have to be it.
Ryan, I'm told you also want to take a shot at a trivia question tonight.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We are looking for two NFC East teams to win the first two consecutive regular season division titles in divisional history. We need both to be correct, so fire away.
Okay. The first one was the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
And the second was the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, wow. Right. Very good. Brian.
We thought that would be a curve.
See, I thought the St. Louis Cardinals would be a little bit of a tricky one. Of course, now they're the Arizona Cardinals, but you're right. They were the St. Louis Cardinals. Very good.
Very good. You're smart kids in Emmaus.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. All right, Ryan, anything else for us?
No, that's it.
All right, we'll be in contact with you after the show about the prize.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, thanks for joining
us.
And with that, we'll kick off the roundtable part of the RCN Sports Talk show. The roundtable is where we have a mix of local and national sports topics. These guys do not know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio. As always, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions on several different types of sports teams and issues. Topic number one, what has been the most surprising thing to you about this NFL season? Cowboys, Eagles, there's been a lot of weird things happen this year. So, Coach Yoder, we'll start off with you. Biggest surprise from this past NFL regular season?
Yeah, you already know.
I know.
Sadly, being a Dallas fan, it's hard to believe they would drop off the planet like that, losing Tony. I mean, Tony Romo's a great player, but to just be a complete debacle with that offensive line, you thought they would be able to muster a few more wins. That stood out first. I think the Panthers are probably near the top of the list as well.
Yeah.
So those are the two that go through my mind.
Would you like RG3 coming to Cowboy Land?
No.
He'd be a good backup. I mean, we need a backup. Obviously, Tony can't make it through the year. He's a Texas guy. I would definitely prefer him over Manziel.
Oh, yeah.
RG3 has a work ethic. And sure.
All right. Joey, how about you? Biggest surprise this NFL season?
I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm like an all-Philadelphia sports team fan. So right now, we're kind of in a slump.
The whole city.
Yeah, the whole city is kind of in a slump when it comes to national sports. But, I would say the Eagles, I thought they were going to be good this year.
So that great preseason, too.
Yeah, so it just stinks.
Cam, how about you? Biggest surprise for you in NFL?
I think the Panthers' success is really surprising and what Cam's been able to do there. Without a really top-notch receiver, he lost Kelvin Benjamin, and they're unbelievable. It's crazy.
All right, Joe?
Biggest surprise to me is the emergence of no one as being a great team. There's no real
15-1.
I don't think they're a great team. When I think of up until this year, when I think of, you had to get through New England. I mean, they were always going to be right there.
I suppose Cam Newton's not a good player.
I didn't say that. I said that.
Look, you could be
15-1. It doesn't mean you're a great team.
There's a lot of mediocrity.
How about they win the Super Bowl?
Let me tell you, there's a lot of mediocrity in the NFL nowadays.
Yeah, a bunch of your Eagles, but
a lot of teams. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, thank you guys for some well thought out answers, Joe. Not so much. All right. Topic number two. In honor of Jack Sock, and if in case you didn't hear this is a remarkable story. It just happened like a day or two ago. Jack Sock is a professional tennis player in an international tournament. There was a call that went for him against his opponent in a singles match, and he stopped the match and said no to the official. You got it wrong. You had the wrong call. Go back, look at the replay. They did. It was the wrong call, and he actually was honest and you know,
gave the point.
Yeah. So for that, I'm going to ask these guys, was there ever a time in which there was a call that you singled out that was positive, or being a little more sneaky, did you ever get away with anything on a basketball court? With no names, because we have great officials here in the area. I don't want to, you know, single anyone out for a rare mistake. But Joey, we'll start with you. Did you ever get away with anything or play Good Samaritan?
Yeah, I mean, being a big guy, my job is to defend the paint. So there's always a lot of foul calls or non-foul calls. I think I get away with a lot of stuff sometimes, and sometimes I feel like it's just a little touchy foul. So, but yeah, I would say every game you always get away with something, and then me and Cam would be laughing about it. Or
yeah, don't say too much. Yeah. Cam, how about you?
Yeah, I honestly can't think of a time where I did something wrong and then I admitted it in sports. Unfortunately, I know that's not the best thing.
It's against the code.
That's an honest answer.
Yeah.
Steve, how about you?
You know, as a player, I wanted to win fairly, so I was racking my brain trying to think. I'm sure being a big guy like Joey, there were some things going on. That stuff kind of evens out, but you know, as a coach, the refs do such a great job.
Yeah,
never really
we
had
do
to
great officials.
We do, and that it's the least appreciated job. You can do a perfect job, and half the people are mad at you. So I was kind of racking my brain, and I couldn't really come up with anything.
All right, Joe, you cheat constantly
as
on this
a coach.
Show,
I can tell you right now. I can even tell you the game. It was against Pensbury back in, I don't know, 70, 71. And we had 12 guys on the field at a crucial time in the game, and the officials never caught it. And we played with 12 guys. We actually won the game. And we snuck the other guy off the field right after the play, so they didn't count.
True. That's true. I'm being honest.
All right. We only have about 90 seconds left, but I want to get your thoughts on most challenging high school basketball player you've ever faced. Cam, we'll start with you. Who's the most challenging player?
Me and Joe agree. It's a kid named Jesse Govan, 7-footer from Wings Academy.
best player we ever played.
Joey?
He had 35 points, yeah, and it didn't even look like he was trying.
Joey, real quick, just the name.
Jesse Govan.
That's a Joe, same guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Steve, continued success to you. Thanks for being here on the program, and my thanks to all the players here. Continued success with the Hornets. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Mike Lonergan, head coach of the George Washington men's basketball team, coming up next on RCN Sports Talk. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. We're now pleased to be joined by a very special guest joining us on the phone line, the head coach of the George Washington men's basketball program, Mr. Mike Lonergan. Coach Lonergan, thanks for joining us and welcome to Sports Talk this evening.
Thanks a lot for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Before we talk about all your success this year, I'd just like to get your thoughts on the success you've had overall at George Washington, in particular the last 2 years, back-to-back 20-plus win seasons. What have the last few years been like for you, your staff, the players, and the entire basketball community at George Washington?
Well, it's been really rewarding. When we got to George Washington, you know, the program, it's got great tradition and history, but it was definitely down, and the culture of the program needed to be changed. And, you know, that was probably more difficult than I ever imagined it would be. So the first year and a half was really the toughest year and a half of my life professionally and personally, just because you know, we had to just kind of change things, and some kids fought that change. But we graduated every player we inherited, and we did a good job recruiting, and, you know, and now we're starting to see the results of our hard work. So I'm very excited where the program is right now. We still got a ways to go to reach the goals that we have.
You started off this year on a great note, a big win over Virginia very early in the season. Virginia ranked sixth in the country at that time. How big was that win, and can a win that early in the season, can that kind of set the tone for bigger and better things during the course of the year?
Definitely. It was a huge win for us. We had a sold-out crowd, the best atmosphere that I've seen at the Smith Center, and we had to take advantage of that. You know, we knew we could beat Virginia, even though they're a well-coached, great team, because last year we were up by four at Virginia and had a very poor second half, but a lot of that credit goes to them. They're so good defensively. So we played four road games last year against Penn State, Seton Hall, Virginia, and Rutgers, and we went 1-3. And one of our goals this year, we wanted to go 4-0. You know, obviously the Virginia game was going to be the toughest. So getting that win under our belt, you know, allowed us to have the confidence to beat those other teams. And we did go 4-0 against those teams. And, you know, it's gotten us off to a great start.
Yeah, I was going to ask you your thoughts overall in the first month of the season. You mentioned Tennessee and Seton Hall and Rutgers among your victories so far. Also a close ball game against Cincinnati that was ranked 24th in the country at the time, I believe, you played them. Your thoughts overall in the first month of the season and things that have gone well and things you'd like to still work on going forward?
Well, it's been good. You know, we've stayed healthy, which is a big concern of mine. We don't have any depth inside. That's probably our Achilles heel this year. So we're trying to develop our bench. We have the biggest and most experienced starting lineup I've ever coached. But then we get really small off the bench. We have you know, three or four really quality guards coming in. They've done a great job for us. We got a young man, Anthony Swan. We're trying to develop to steal some minutes in the post for us, and he's coming along. We lost a player, Matt Cimino, to a season-ending injury, and he was going to be our first big guy off the bench. So that really has hurt us. But what I like about our team is we're getting better. We didn't shoot three-pointers well through the first four or five games, and now we're improving in that area, which I knew we would, and we're becoming a better defensive team. Our 1-3-1 is, you know, getting better now that some of the guys have played it for a few games. So that's what we got to do. We didn't do that last year. We didn't get better as a team, and that was very disappointing this year. We're going to try to get better every day.
Coach, you mentioned the injury, but the top six right now, you have pretty balanced scoring. All five starters averaging over 9 points per game. You've had four different leading scorers so far through the first month. Could you talk a little bit about the offense? And it seems like you have players that can score different ways, including, as you said, the three-point shooting has been improved this year.
Definitely. You know, we're really sharing the ball. We're very unselfish. And now that we're a better shooting team than we've had in the past at GW, we're getting our assists up. So the guys are really taking pride and making the extra pass, and that's made us a really good team. We have a very good passing post player in Kevin Larson. When he's double-teamed, he does a great job kicking it out and finding the open man. So I think our guys really, you know, they all are about winning, and then I think they appreciate more than just how many points they average. I think they really feel good about making that extra pass, and that's been a key to our success.
Our special guest joining us on the phone line this segment, Mike Lonergan, the head coach at George Washington men's basketball program. You mentioned being on the road last year against a lot of your non-conference teams like Seton Hall and Penn State. This year, of course, the flip side is you had eight of your first 11 games at the Smith Center. Does that work for you, having all those games in the friendly confines of the Smith Center? I know sometimes coaches prefer to have a lot of road games early on, but what are your thoughts on having so many home games the first month of the year?
Well, I wish it was a little bit more even, but you know, when we try to get some high major conference teams on our schedule, they always want to play at their place first, so we really have no choice. So I wish it was more balanced, but it's not. But I like playing at home because we got our confidence there. I think we're maybe 34-35-3 over the last 3 years at home. So our guys really feel good about, you know, playing at home. We've got, you know, I think we'll be a better road team this year than we have been in the past. But we got a beautiful arena. Not too big, and our students, they call themselves the Colonial Army. They do a great job of making it hard for opponents to come in and beat us.
You mentioned the A-10 and the schedule as well. You have Fordham, St. Louis, and Duquesne early in the 2016 calendar year. What's your thoughts overall on the A-10? Are you, along with Dayton and Rhode Island and Davidson, among the top four in the preseason poll? But what are your thoughts overall on the top teams in the Atlantic 10 this year?
Well, I think it's a strong conference. I think it'll be back to being a four or five bid conference this year. Last year, the league was a little bit young and inexperienced. There's some terrific coaches in our conference. So when you get in the conference games, anyone can beat anyone. And some of the teams that, you know, haven't done well in the past are much improved. You know, Duquesne and Fordham are much improved teams. And, you know, we play, it's an unbalanced schedule, which I don't like, but we have to play VCU, Davidson, and Richmond twice. And those are probably three of the best five or six teams in our league. But you know what I like is that getting bids to NCAA tournament is all based on, you know, RPI and all those statistical data. So you know, you could see a team come in fifth or sixth place in our conference and still go to the NCAA tournament over a team that might come in second or third place. So we know the conference is going to be great. There's been some great wins. You know, our Virginia win, Dayton winning at Vanderbilt, who at the time was very one of the ranked teams and very strong team. Even a win like St. Joe's had at Temple the other day is great for our conference. So I'm cheering for all those guys, and hopefully we can continue to get some great non-conference wins.
Yeah. Before you get into the Atlantic 10 schedule, I just want to get your thoughts before we let you go. You have some more non-conference games coming up. DePaul, of course, coming up. You're going to be on the road a little bit around the holidays. How do you view working through the holiday season, and is there anything specific you'd really like to achieve in the games leading up to the start of your A-10 schedule?
Well, we want to try to win these last three games. They're not going to be easy. We're playing St. Peter's on Saturday. Coach Dunn does a great job with them, and you know, they beat Siena earlier this year, and they've lost a couple close games. Then we have to play at DePaul. They had won four in a row before losing you know, the other night, but Dave Leto's got them going again, and they're playing really hard. And, you know, at Central Florida right after Christmas, they beat UMass from our conference, who's a talented team. So none of the games are going to be easy, but we want to try to, you know, try to get those wins. And as we do prepare, so we want to get better as a team, better defensively. We want to continue to improve our outside shooting, and then really, I want to keep developing our bench. In the last game, we were able to play extended minutes at Anthony Swan and a young freshman named Jordan Rowland, who had his best game for us. So we want to get to where we're confident playing 9, 10, or even 11 guys.
Coach Lonergan, thanks so much for your time and continued success to you and your program at George Washington.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. Happy holidays.
It was our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Mike Lonergan, the outstanding head coach at George Washington University, the men's basketball program, off to another great season here during the 2015-2016 NCAA basketball season. We'd like to thank all of you for watching us and all of our guests on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Don't forget, we're going to be back next week with another live show starting at 7 p.m. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night.